Would you like to work closer to home, save money on gas, and be rewarded for your hard work and attendance? Then Bellisio Foods is looking for you. That's right. Bellisio Foods is now hiring for multiple positions and shifts with great employee benefits, an on-site health clinic, competitive wages, and advancement opportunities. Bellisio Foods is a company that truly values their employees. Apply online at BelisioFoods.com/careers.
At Vinton County National Bank, we believe in supporting the areas where we live and work. Now, we'd like to honor those who also serve our communities. Our new Community Champions account is especially for first responders, veterans, active military, and anyone employed in the fields of healthcare or education. This account offers rewards, discounts, and other benefits to those who give so much to others. Vinton County National Bank, rewarding those who serve.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. It's a little chilly out, so put your coat and your mittens on, you guys.
Yeah.
Yep, mittens. They came prepared this morning. But welcome to the morning show. It is a new work week here and holiday. If you all are at home celebrating Martin Luther King Day, welcome. We're happy to have you here watching this morning. But we have some special guests here in the studio. And we'll let you all introduce yourselves so I don't mess it up.
My name is Larry Zorns.
I'm Norman Geringer. I'm the president of Southern Liberty.
So I don't have Larry and Larry this year.
No.
But I can remember Larry and Larry.
Larry and Larry.
That's not hard to forget or hard to remember.
My other brother, Larry.
Yes. There's a Daryl in there somewhere, yeah. I think. So, but no, welcome to the program. We're so happy to have you here. And we are going to talk about something special that you guys have coming on this weekend. And I'm going to blame this weather on you. Because every yes. time I feel like you have this indoor trade show, the weather turns icky.
Yeah, last year it was pretty good.
Last year was like the only year in forever I can remember that it was like good.
Yeah, usually we always get cold and get a good
snow or something.
And then we have the best show we ever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then everybody piles out anyways.
Yeah. Well, it's real pretty down there, especially with the snow and stuff on. So I think people come out just for the,
you know,
the scenery or something. So
you're exactly right. There's really not more of a picturesque, beautiful location than Canner's Cave. No matter what time of the year it is, it's just absolutely lovely out there. So you can take advantage of both the scenery and the indoor trade show this weekend as you have something to do in the cold weather. All right. So you guys are with Sons of Liberty, right?
Yes.
So can you kind of explain that a little bit? And then we'll talk about the trade show.
Well, basically, the Sons of Liberty, we're a pre-1840s living history group. So we you know, strive to try to teach all the skills and stuff of our ancestors.
Uh-huh.
From, you know, the cooking and cleaning, the hunting and whole bit. So we take in the guns and everything like that. But, and like I said, our time period is 1840, but majority of us stay in the 18th century, most of us. So, but then this weekend, as far as our trade fair, though, we opened the time period up to 1890.
Okay.
So that takes in, you know, Civil War, cowboy action type stuff. So a little bit of everything from 19th, 18th, 19th century. So
what you're saying is there wasn't Walmart back then.
Nope. There wasn't a Walmart, yeah.
People had to live a little differently back then.
Yeah, they had to depend on themselves mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, yeah. You know, and of course there were settlers and all that trade goods and all that took care of a lot of that stuff too.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, I just think it's fascinating. Like, what was life back then?
Probably pretty rough at times, I'd say.
I would say so. Like, I mean, were there towns and did, you know?
There were villages and towns. There was towns and cities, especially on the East Coast. There was pretty sizable towns.
The further out into what they call the western frontier, which is where we're at now, this would have been the far western frontier at that time.
Yeah,
Northwest Territories.
Yeah, once you got out here, pretty much like Larry said up there, you might have a trading post, you know, 50 mile down the road from you. And then you get to make a trip up there once every 6 months or once a year.
You're riding your horse or driving your wagon to get there.
Yeah. Well, the rest of the time you pretty
canoe
much
or by walk, foot.
The rest of the time you pretty much done for yourself. You either made what you needed or got by without it or something. So traded someone. If someone was coming to buy, you could trade.
there were traders that went around too to the Indian villages and and some of the old forts, you know, down in Kentucky. And, of course, there was a lot of fighting went on because of that.
Yeah.
The Indian part of it, I'm a little bit prejudiced toward that because my great-great-great-grandmother was Mary Lotus Morningstar. She was a Shawnee Indian woman. There was good and bad on both sides, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know how accurate, you know, because it's theatrical and whatever, but if you're a Yellowstone fan, they had the prequel shows that came out. And again, I don't know how accurate they
I don't know. I haven't watched them.
They are, but it did give you like a little glimpse into, you know, the folks that decided they were going to start to go out west and, you know, the all of the trials and tribulations of that and dealing with the Native American population and all that. So I thought that was interesting. Again, I don't know how realistic it really, you know, is in depicting what life was really like, but it was not an easy time. Let's put it that way. At all. So, but you guys kind of want to keep that history alive by, you know, doing what you're doing. So tell us some of the things that you guys get into.
Well,
because you have several events a year, right?
Outdoor rendezvous, and that's twice a year, May and October.
Those are fun.
May and October. And
Memorial Day weekend is our spring rendezvous, and then the third weekend of October is when we do the fall rendezvous.
Okay.
The fall rendezvous, it's pretty much the two of them are the same, except in the fall, I tried to get into some of your Highland games and stuff, so we also have a little bit of a Scottish influence on the fall. So we put on our fancy dresses, throw heavy stuff around.
All aspects of history, it covers a wide spectrum. You know, you got a lot of Highlanders came over, Scottish people, and of course, there was a little bit of everybody came over, you know, Irish and mostly English, come in.
What a lot of people don't realize is most of the people that came over here back then were the rejects from England, not over Europe. So, the King of England.
They weren't the stellar population.
The King of England decided that if you've been in trouble a certain amount of times, rather than keep transiting over in England, they just put you on a boat and send you over here.
So we were the recipient of all the rejects, huh?
Yeah.
No, but that is true. And America is such a melting pot.
Yes, it is.
And I hope people realize that when they're arguing back and forth and, you know, being mean to each other and whatever. Like, we're all from everywhere.
Yeah, we are.
Which is what makes America so cool.
Yeah.
And most of Americans that are alive nowadays are melted together from all that. I don't think there's hardly any of us that can say we're purebred.
Right. Like get over yourself. Trust me when I tell you, we're all a whole lot of stuff over here. So, yeah. That's just one of my preaches. But anyway, so explain some of the things that you guys are wearing. So I think this is like super duper cool.
Basically up there, I got just pretty much the standard dress of the day up. Like you'd have a pants, shirt, and a vest. And of course, they would have never, the shirt is the innermost garment. So you never would have worn just a shirt back then. You had to have a vest or something on. And then normally a frock coat or something over top of that.
Okay, so what about when it's, I mean, that's obviously for when it's cold outside. What did they wear in the summer?
Pretty much the same thing, except instead of being made out of wool, it would have been made out of linen, Lindsay Woolsey or linen, a little bit lighter material.
A little bit lighter material.
But they had a whole different idea of a hygiene back then. So, boy. If they happen to have three pieces on up there and they sweat a little bit, it was different than it is nowadays. So, but now they still dress pretty much the same both times.
Wow.
Now you did have some other frontiersmen and stuff, more like I guess like you say, like Boone and them, once they got out and mixed with the Indians some.
Uh-huh.
I saw a lot of times they would take on some of the Indian dress.
Breech cloth leggings,
stuff like that. So
okay.
Of course, you know, as far as the melting part is Scots, Irish, and them like that. The Scots
or
the
kilts.
Yeah, they still pretty much stayed with their kilts when they came over.
Well, and those are nice and airy.
Yeah.
They let things breathe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is it true? Did they wear nothing under their kilts?
Nothing is worn. Everything is in fine working order.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You heard it here first and last. We won't talk about that anymore. No, that's really, really cool. And it is like important for people to understand, I would think, that, you know, we did all come from a lot of different ancestors and countries and all of that. And again, it's what makes us interesting here. But so now, the apparel that both of you have on, would that be about the same time period, or would they be different?
About the same, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Larry has a vest on. It's a little bit longer than mine, so his is more French and Indian.
Westcoat.
Yeah. And mine's more towards the latter part of the 18th century, around 1770 or something like that, where mine come in at.
Okay. So, and your hats are different. Is that?
It's a tam. They call it a tam.
A tam.
That's a tam. Whereas the Scotties wear, of course, I wear a tam sometimes, but tricorn, it's pretty much what people would wear back then for dress and stuff. Your officers and different people all wore tricorns back then. They're not really a super functional hat.
Except for us rebels. We wore a tam.
Pretty much how this come about. Is they tucked under here real well when they took them off inside. So that's why a lot of people call them a cocked hat instead of a tricorn. But
I wonder where it got the name tricorn, because it's like three.
Three.
It's like in a triangle.
Yeah.
Triangle, yeah.
But there's a lot of times when people think of people from that era, this is the type of hat they think they wear. So
okay. So there you are.
Yeah. So I am. And then one of the other things I've kind of gotten into the last few years as far as trying to teach history is people don't realize and know how much electricity they had back in the 18th century and how much they used back then. So I've started trying to teach electrical aspect of what they've done in the 18th century. Of course, a lot of people, everybody knows about Franklin and his kite, but that's about the extent of what they know from that.
Right. Well, give us a little history lesson.
But as far as electricity, they had electricity clear back in ancient Greeks' time. They knew back then if they took a piece of amethyst stone and rubbed that to a piece of wool, they could take and put that on the temple, and that would take an electrical charge and help with migraines and stuff on their temple then. So even they were using electricity for stuff like that back then.
Really?
Yeah. But the first electric generator, as far as, and I'm talking static-wise, the first electric generator was made in the 17th century, right around about the middle part of the and a guy made an electric generator where you could actually spin a piece of glass, and he'd take a glass bulb up there, and he could get an electrical charge off that glass bulb. And that's how that was the first electric static generator. Then, then you come on up in the 18th century, and by about the middle of the 18th century, they came up with what they call a Leyden jar or Leyden jar.
Okay.
Because it's a French word, so I'm not French, so I probably pronounce it wrong. But anyway, it's a Leyden jar. And basically what that is your first electrical capacitor, because that was a way they could finally store electricity and then take the electricity around and use it.
You asked for it.
No, I think that's fascinating. I had no idea there was electricity back then.
Oh, yeah. They had They had it, and they, of course, like everything, they tried to use it for a little bit of everything like that, but they used it mostly for medical purposes. Even then, they turned. So Franklin, even he was trying to cure arthritis and dementia and stuff like that with electricity. So, yeah.
Whoa.
You talk about lobotomies. Okay, there was some of your first lobotomies back then when they shock you and try to a mental patient. So,
probably not the best idea.
Yeah. No.
And they revived drowning patients. A lot of people, someone would drown or something like that. They would take it and shoot them with an electric charge and revive them.
Oh.
So technically, there was your first defibrillators.
Wow. Interesting. All the way back then.
Yeah.
So what did homes look like? Did homes have electricity or?
No.
This was just like little bits at a time.
Yeah, back in that time up there, electricity was mostly a parlor trick.
It was exotic.
Yeah. It was something, because they were still trying to sell it to people and get people convinced it was.
And they were like, I'm not having this. This is weird.
Yeah, like anything up there. You know? And so they were still telling. So mostly it was like parlor trick. They had. Well, one of the tricks they had, like what they called a hanging boy, they would actually hang and suspend the boy in the air and, run electrical charge on him up like that, and he'd reach out his finger and touch the grounding rod up like that and shoot a spark through his body that way and different things like that.
They did that to a person?
Yeah.
That's a little mean.
In the beginning, basically, it's like any time with scientists. When you have no other means of testing and trying to check things out, how did they do it? They tested on their cells.
Yeah.
So they would charge these capacitors up. They charge the shocker cells to see if electrical charge was dumped. And I had one account where a guy, he shocked himself, and he didn't wake up again for 2 days later. And when he woke up, this was a highly learned man at the time, he couldn't remember how to read and write for another 2 days before he could write his theory down, what he'd done. He just completely knocked himself silly. So yeah. But with all this going on, it wasn't until after Franklin flew his kite that I found the first recorded death from electricity, and it was a guy in France who tried to duplicate Franklin's kite experiment.
Yeah.
And he got too close to the Leyden jar that he was trying to charge. So when the lightning bolt came down, instead of going into the jar and charging it, it jumped and over to him. Yeah.
So, I can see where that would do you in, for
yep.
sure. Well, that is very, very interesting. I was wondering about that. So
anyway, that's more reason why I kind of adapted to different style of dress and stuff I had before.
Yeah.
I guess it was a long way around to get to that. But
No, it's very interesting.
He may
I think.
Have tried one of them experiments too.
Yeah, maybe. Oh my gosh, you guys are too funny. So, all right, so let's talk about what's going on this weekend.
Okay, this weekend is our indoor trade fair. And like I said, it's based on the time period 1890 back. And basically what it is, it's kind of like, the best way to describe it is like an indoor flea market for...
No flea market.
Or a...
It's well, shopping mall.
Yeah, shopping mall.
Yeah, like a...
For this type of gear and clothing. You get everything
sure.
you can to do this hobby with, basically.
Yeah.
And I don't know why Larry says not to call it a flea market, because this stuff is all handmade. Most of it's not just,
almost
your Jap
like a,
stuff.
Like
so.
Maybe like a craft market
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah, okay, more like that.
I don't know, yeah.
But you can
get
everything.
Well, it's very unique, let's put it that way, and it's really super cool. Well,
but there'll be settlers and vendors, of course, dressed just like us. Selling everything from guns to glassware, candles,
knives, tomahawks,
yeah.
Hand forged items, various and sundry types, and gun kits and tomahawk kits and clothing and a little bit of everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's
everything
woodworkers, blacksmiths, all kind of different people.
Yeah.
Doing different things.
Yeah, I think we have about 28 vendors.
Awesome.
Set up, so. Mm-hmm.
And Canner's Cave is just such a beautiful place to go. Like I said, no matter what time of the year it is, it's gorgeous out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll have you know, since the last time we talked, I know that we were teasing the other Larry about this. The other Larry that didn't bother to show up today, by the way, Larry. We're going to have a talk about that. But anyway. Since the last time you and I and Larry, the other Larry, talked, I have done axe throwing.
Good.
And
okay.
I am really good at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll show you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually am really good at it.
Well, I believe you.
I don't know how, but I was. It was really weird.
Yeah.
Don't mess with her.
I'm telling you.
Don't mess with her.
I'm telling you. No, so I lucked into... No, we were laughing last time they were here because we were talking about the sutler, like the blacksmiths and all the things. And I said, okay, they do me an axe for axe throwing. And then we got into that whole thing. But no, Jamie and I were on vacation and we went into this axe throwing place because I'd never done it before. I wanted to. And we were the only people in there because it was like during the day. And so... It was really cool because the guy gave us like personal lessons. So then he was like, okay, like, and he would look at your form and be like, okay, do this, this, this. And by the end, I was like, this is cool. So anyway, if you want me to come out and throw some axes and show people how it's done, I can totally do that.
Okay.
Now.
We can set up a block
just
for
to
you.
Let you guys know.
Yeah, we can find a block of wood somewhere for you.
Yeah. What I did realize is how much wear and tear those places get. Because I'm sitting there and, you know, you're winging axes at a piece of wood and it's just splitting and splitting and splitting. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, God, this would be a nightmare to try to keep these things up and going all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's just shards of wood bouncing everywhere. So anyway, that's a whole other story. So this weekend you will have about 28 vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And anything from... things that you would need to like run your household, whether it be soaps and things like that, to clothes, to tools.
Artwork.
Art?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lady up there that'd be bringing her artwork.
She had artwork. Yes.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
And of course, the people selling books and stuff, so they'll be out there with books.
Okay.
And if you want to try to get into this hobby, the best place for you to start is with the books and then go out and instead of doing like most of us did and buy all the stuff and then find out, nope, that didn't fit the time period. We got to do this. So now you get to change again. Best place to start with the books and then go out and figure out what you want to do.
Well, and here's the thing. Don't reinvent the wheel. Talk to the people that are experienced in doing it, right? And chat with these guys. Chat with all the other people that are going to be out there.
We'll be set up. Yeah, we'll be set up out there.
All right. So let's talk about times and price and all that stuff.
Well, Saturday we run from 8 to 5, and then Sunday is 9 to 3.
8 to 5, 9 to 3, okay.
Okay, and...
children under 12 are free.
Yeah, and then, then it's $4 flat, you know, gate fee after that, so per adult.
Okay, very good. And so this is what's, this is a very important thing. You guys split the money there. No, you
the
give
gate,
it all?
The gate fees.
The gate fees all go to
Canner's Cave.
Now, what that means is that goes to our local kids and 4-H and the camp and all of that stuff. So, you know, this is a big deal. Not only is it a really cool event, but it's also a big fundraiser for Canner's Cave as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To help them out and help our local kids.
Right.
Which is very important.
And Canner's also sells food at the event, too.
Yes.
So you'll be able to come out and, you know, if you want to come out and spend the day and have breakfast and lunch both. And
they have great food out there, too. Mm-hmm.
And that and the food, all up to them. So they sell them and price the food everything on their own. So whatever food you buy is definitely goes straight to Canner's Cave.
Yeah, we're Sons of Liberty completely out of that part of it.
Sure, yeah. Mm. And that's, again, that's raising money for our local kids. So. Yes. Because it is the 4-H camp, and you know, lots of kids spend their summer out there, spend a week or so in the summer out there, and it's a life-changing experience.
I went to that camp when I was a boy. A
couple years ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So let's talk about this beautiful gun that you have sitting up here. Can you explain?
Well, that's a copy of a Jacob Dubbs, Bucks County, Pennsylvania, late... about 1752, somewhere in that neighborhood, we built that one. And we just copied that particular gun. It's one of the guns that we copied. We do copies of original guns.
Okay. Who is the guy in which you're talking about?
Who was the guy?
What'd
Jacob Dubbs.
Who was he?
He was the gun builder. He was in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Matter of fact, one of his ancestors, a couple of years ago, got in touch with me and had me build him a gun, a copy of his ancestor.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So it went full circle.
Yeah, it went full circle. Yeah, and we build all copies of French trade guns, three different models of that. And we do about 10 different types of guns.
Types of guns.
Yeah. Andrew Werner and Jacob Dubs and Bucks County guns. And it's they're neat stuff.
So I think I've asked you this before, but can you explain like how this obviously isn't a, you know, an automatic pistol or something. Can you explain kind of how it works?
That's the flint lock. Yeah. The frizzen, called frizzen, and the hammer is called, they call it a cock, and the top jaw, it held a flint, and you put your main charge in your barrel, in your ball, or whatever you're going to use.
So whatever, like, ammunition it is, mm-hmm. right? Like,
and then put fine powder in the pan, and then you close the frizzen up, you cock it, close the frizzen, and flint comes down and strikes the frizzen, sparks, ignite the powder in the pan, which in turn it ignites the main charge, and out the end it goes.
So, but
and it's like that if it's done right.
Right. Yeah. But this is like a one shot thing, right?
One shot. Yeah.
So then you had to reload.
Reload.
Yeah.
So did you have to put powder and stuff in every time? Yes. Also?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's like a process.
Right.
So how long, if you were really good at it, would it take to reload that gun and shoot it again?
Oh, they could probably do it in 30 seconds or less. If
what was it? Like 3 rounds or something, a minute or something? Like a good
rifleman can do.
Yeah.
And then last time you were in here, you brought like some of the, like the thing that was like the horn, and that's carried the powder in, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you had all of the stuff on you.
Yeah.
You just had to be really good and efficient at putting it all together.
Yes. Well, they'd have pre-measured charges and loading blocks, and that helped it. And sometimes without using a patch, they just spit the ball down the barrel behind the powder and bump the butt on the ground
and
shoot the ball and shoot it.
So I guess that that would have changed the way that you thought about getting into a gunfight, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't miss the first time.
Yeah,
when they had the people that were shooting one another just on duels, you know, back to back, and had to walk out and turn around and flintlock pistol and fire. Somebody got it and somebody didn't. Sometimes neither one of them got it, you know?
Yeah.
Or both of them got it.
Or both of them got it. Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
To think about, you know, the difference between that and the guns we have today.
Yeah.
So, will you have guns for sale out at the thing?
Yes, we do. We'll have guns. There'll be a little bit of everything for sale out there.
I mean,
as far as, you know, the time period.
All right. Yeah,
usually there he has the guns, gun parts, and kits.
We'll
have all that out there.
And that's the thing. You know, Larry, you know, your guys can, like, make a whole gun, or you can buy, like, a kit, or you can buy the parts and do your own situation. And so it just depends on what you're into.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But these things are, I mean, if you're looking at this gun, it's absolutely a work of art. It's absolutely gorgeous and would be a lovely just display piece in your home or something like that. Mm-hmm. Not that you're, you know, going to defend your home with it. I mean, I guess you could.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they did back then.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just for show.
No. They used it.
They put food on the table and everything with those. So.
And feed the family and all that, too.
Yep. So, but that's really, really cool. And you can get to see something like this up close and personal, because many of them have beautiful detail on them.
I have a bunch of them out there.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
cool. Now, are you a seller of things?
At this trade fair, my wife and I take care of the main gate, and that's, I run the show. Other than that, the door prizes and all that stuff. So basically, that's all I get done.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
The show runs him.
Either way, yeah.
You just pretend, right?
Yeah. I pretend I'm running it. Yeah.
Well, very good.
If you get right down to it, my wife runs it.
Yeah, exactly. You just pretend like, I get it.
That's... Matter of fact, when they got married at a rendezvous, him and his wife.
You got married at a rendezvous?
Yeah,
I brought her in on horseback.
Oh!
The little podium we had at that time.
Podium.
I brought her
horseback, and
this is the one and only time she's ever been on a horse. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She must have really trusted you.
Yeah. I don't know. We got her on there anyway, didn't we?
His daughter, she's a horsewoman.
Yeah. Actually, my granddaughter.
She's
into horses now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. Well, very good. So, all right, let's talk about times and whatever again. So it's this Saturday and Sunday.
At
Canter's Cave.
8 to 5 on Saturday and 9 to 3 on Sunday.
Okay, and kids under 12 will be free. There will be stuff for them to see and do.
Oh, yeah.
Please bring the family. It's really cool.
Yeah, yes.
They'll love it. And then anybody over 12, $4. To get in, and all those proceeds go to the camp to help our kids.
Right.
So
that's
important.
Yeah.
So you're helping out along the way. If you have any questions, you can call Canter's Cave, 286-4058. They will have the cafeteria open and ready to go. And if you need directions, just Google Canter's Cave. You can't miss it.
And then
you'll have signs out there too.
Yeah, 35.
Right, just go 35 toward Chillicothe and
right at the end
Cave Road.
Right at the end of Cave Road.
Yep.
There'll be a great big white banner that says Sons of Liberty Trade Fair on it. So
You can't miss it.
I'll put that up either Wednesday or Friday, one to two. But that's one of my jobs. So
you know, and here's the thing too. If you have not ever been back there, I don't know. I mean, I think most people have, but if you have not, when you turn off the highway, it is a little stretch of road back there. Like it's a little curvy, small road, but so don't think you're lost. It is maybe a mile or two back across that road.
Across the little bridge there and turn left up into the camp.
Once you get there, it's like, you'll see exactly where you're going. Yeah. It's a lovely place, but so don't think that you're not in the right spot if you turn off the highway and you have to drive for a minute.
Well, you can't go too far because the road's closed. It fell off into the creek.
Yeah.
Oh.
On out the way. So.
Oh.
It's on past Canter's Cave.
Yeah. Well, don't go past Canter's Cave then.
Yeah.
And drive off into the creek.
Yeah. Well, they've got it closed. I don't know where they got it blocked off, but I know it's closed.
Well, very good. Well, guys, is there anything else you wanted to tell our viewers while you're here? We appreciate you stopping by.
I can think we've covered it all. So,
appreciate
getting
the word out to people, and hopefully they'll show up and make it a big success for the cave.
Well, we hope so too. And it is such a cool event. People come from all over the country to sell their wares here and to visit and whatever. So we hope that all you local folks get out and appreciate what these guys are doing too, because it's just a really, really fascinating thing to see.
Yeah. We've had them come from Canada even.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All over the place, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So, and it's really neat to get to see these things up close and personal you know, get to see the detail on a lot of the crafts that people are making.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So very good. All right, guys, we'll let you get out of here.
Okay.
Stay warm.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you.
Come back and see us anytime.
Okay.
We'll probably be back next year.
Very good. Hopefully before then, huh?
Okay.
All right. And let's head on over to the weather forecast, and then our sweet Dylan will be back with us on the other side, and we'll figure out what it is that we're going to talk about. So. Did we not get the weather? Thanks, guys. Okay, well, Dylan, come on over then. Okay. So here we are. He has his laptop, so I'm not sure what he's got, but
apparently I got a back scratcher.
You got, hey, that's my back scratcher. Wait. It does work. I want to thank, somebody dropped this off for me and I can't even remember who it was. But thank you.
I remember the day that happened, but I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, I can't remember. But it was very kind of them to do that. All right. So here is the weather forecast, and we appreciate our sweet intern getting that for us. Today is Monday, January 15th, and it is going to be, shall we say, cold. Highs only of 22, lows dipping down to 10. A little bit of flurries in the forecast. Don't think it will be much. Don't worry about that. Tomorrow, even colder. The coldest day of, of the week. Some sunshine, a little bit anyway. Highs of 21, lows of 6. Mid-20s to 30 throughout the rest of the week. And then dipping down really, really cold again on Friday and Saturday. So hopefully, if we can get through this week, maybe it won't be so bad next week. I don't know. I haven't looked, but we'll see.
Well, I saw my breath in the air earlier, and I knew that was a bad sign that it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, maybe it's getting a little better, but like...
No, it's not getting better.
I was just freezing this morning, and when I saw the breath, I was like, oh no, it's that time of year.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, when you
we went pretty much the whole fall and up until now with not even having to wear a coat. So, I mean, I guess we can't complain too much. But.
Yeah, that part was nice.
So what's going on? How's college life? So this one moved into his dorm.
Yeah, I did.
I've been getting some interesting text messages, which we may or may not talk about here on the show because some of them are not appropriate for the show, of things that you've seen and heard.
Well, let's just say the last bit of innocence I had is now gone. But we won't talk too much about that. No.
I got some really interesting, it was about things your neighbors were doing.
Yes. Well, it was just the timing of the situation. Like I was just saying, man, I had some trouble sleeping. And then you text me about something with your dream. And then I was like, oh my God, no, not again.
Yeah. He has some, shall we say, energetic neighbors.
Yeah. Very energetic all night.
That's all we're gonna say about that. Okay, so living in the dorm, what do you think? You just moved in, so
yeah, it was like... only my second night. I've only stayed two nights there, and that's just because the timing of it, when I have to go down there to work, and then when I have to come home for certain things, and then work in here. So really it's just like a matter of like, do I want to drive home that night or not? Mm-hmm. And where classes haven't officially started till tomorrow, which Hayden knows about. He's going to classes. Well, actually, no, he gets lucky. He gets out tomorrow because he's still in high school. But he's also in college, so he'll go Wednesday.
Gotcha.
But me, I'm going back tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll have my first class, which one of them is actually walking. That is a class I have. Walking.
Wait, shut up.
And I'm taking it online. An
I
online
am so tired
walking
right
class.
Now. I can't. Like, what did you just say? You're taking a class about walking,
yeah,
and it's online.
Yeah. How lucky did I get? Yeah, it's awesome.
Stop it.
You can take walking online though, because think about it. Like, if you have a class that's walking, which I don't know why it exists. I don't know why there's a walking class.
Why is there a walking class?
I have no clue, but it's a good thing. Let's not question it. Yeah. So think about it, though. You can totally take that online because you can put your wristwatch to track your steps. And as long as you can prove that, like, yeah, this is accurate information, it counts for your class online.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It is the best thing I've ever heard. That is so much better than, like, imagine if they made me take walking.
I'd be doing exactly the same thing.
But imagine if they made me take walking in person. Like, I am a commuter, which technically, I know I live there kind of, but I'm also a commuter. I'm kind of both, like, a hybrid. But if I have to travel back and forth every day and I don't have a lot of time for classes and you're like, yeah, make sure you're here for your walking class at 9 a.m. on Thursday. No.
Why don't you just walk to school and then you wouldn't have to worry about it?
Exactly.
Just saying.
Yeah. I mean, get me fit.
Walk from Jackson?
Well,
it would take a while.
Let's maybe wait till the next semester then.
Okay. Wait till you're really in shape.
Yeah. Let's say that.
Okay. From your walking class. All right. So what other classes do you have?
I have, what is it? Mass communications. So okay. That's like one of the main communication classes for your degree. And I don't really know what we're doing just yet. I don't know what the aim of that class is. I guess it's just like generalized communication, teaching you like the pillar points of the degree.
Okay.
And then I have vector graphics.
Okay.
Which is actually a really good class to take. I'm actually excited.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I'll finally learn how to do graphic design. So yeah. The next time someone walks up to me and says, hey, Dylan, can you make me a graphic for this event Thursday? Right. I don't have to be like, yeah, you see, give me another semester.
I haven't taken that class yet.
Yeah, now I can actually be like, you know what? I can do that. I'll make you that graphic.
Very cool.
I'll get it to Brittany next week.
Good deal. No, that will be a very, I think that would be an interesting class for you.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And then try to remember the other ones. I took a lot of online. So I had 5 classes. 2 were in person, vector graphics and mass communication. And then there's walking online. And
I can't.
The other even. 2, I can't remember. I'm not sure about those ones. But so far, the semester hasn't even started. And they've been like very able to work with me with my crazy schedule. So I'm very happy about that.
Cool. And so other than the things that you texted me over the weekend, of which we are not going to talk about here on the air, your energetic neighbors... has anything else fun happened while you were at school or anything interesting?
Interesting.
In the dorm. So do you have a roommate in the dorm?
No, so far no. Which okay. I am very, very, very thankful
That's a
for.
Plus.
I do not want those neighbors in my room, so I'm glad that I have the dorm.
Yeah, just think if they were actually living in your room and not beside your room.
You would have got a lot more angry texts that night. I just would have walked out. Just sort of angrily stomped out of the dorm. I can't do it.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, my freshman roommate who lived in my room was that person.
Yeah. So I got lucky in that way, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was... Other than that, the only interesting thing that happened... So this is another story about the Dylan Mobile, the Pickle Mobile, or whatever we call it.
Yes, the Pickle Mobile.
Pickle Mobile. So I was pulling out of the like dorm area and there's this big empty parking lot and I had a friend with me and I put it in reverse and I just let my wheel like do its thing. Cause you know, it's supposed to go automatically straight. It didn't go automatically straight. It went straight to the right. And again, it's a big empty parking lot. So I don't have to worry about hitting anyone. So this story is totally safe. No one was injured. No cars are injured. It's all good. Just my wheel is messed up.
Okay.
That happened beforehand. So I put it in reverse. It went straight to the right. And it just started going in this big circle in the parking lot. And as I just hit the gas and let it go, and it's just like this big circle around and around and around. And then Corbin was nearby, and he saw this whole thing. And he started doing it too. And we were both just making these big circles. The thing that got me, though, was I was just...
You were a rebel.
I just let the steering wheel go, and it just made this big circle. I don't know. I thought it was really cool.
You were around Corbin while he was driving?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to do that.
Yeah, and I was the one that was being stupid in that situation. Hold on. I got a video.
He has a video.
Ready for the airdrop?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, he's going to airdrop the video because it's really funny.
It's very funny.
It's very funny. In Dylan's eyes, it is very funny.
I feel like you have some sarcasm in that.
Yes, there was sarcasm in that. Yes. He's starting to pick up on my personality and sense of humor. Yes, there was sarcasm in that. Okay.
There you go.
Ooh, I heard a ding, ding, ding.
You know, I love Apple. It's just so easy to send videos to each other.
I know.
I didn't even have to download it. I just like went to the video that my friend sent me and just airdropped it to him. That's so cool. I used to hate on Apple, but
so
now
how do you
awesome.
Do that? Like, so I was trying to airdrop something the other day, and it was evidently turned off on my phone. But the girl that was I was trying to airdrop it to, or she was trying to airdrop something to me, turned it on, and she did, you know, went da 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 da, and it was, and I was like, "What'd you do?" And she's like, "Don't worry about it." And
yeah, I mean, you just there's
so
like.
So do you see the video? So there's the video. You pull the video up, and yes. then you hit that little blue and white thing you read.
Show it. Yep, see.
Oh no, Corbin, watch out.
Because it's a little dark, so you can't really see it, but
it's also sideways.
Yeah, they did not do a good job recording this.
This is, I don't even have any hands on it. That's ridiculous.
Oh my god.
I really need a new car.
I mean, you can see it's
I really need a new car.
I'm coming, Corbin.
One of these days.
All right, you can come back to us.
I'm glad you thought that was fun.
I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, honey. All right, so what the heck else is going on in the world?
Okay, this is news to me. I think this is like front page news.
Okay.
Young Sheldon spinoff in the works.
Okay, I have never watched Young Sheldon.
Okay, so have you watched Big Bang Theory?
No.
Okay, Hayden, have you? Okay, I'm the only one who understands this then. All right, so I guess I can try and just point it out here. So there's this show, The Big Bang Theory.
Yes, I've heard it, definitely heard of it. Yes.
And one of the main characters is Sheldon. So when the show ended, they made a spinoff about Sheldon. But it's about him as a kid.
Young Sheldon. I got you. Okay.
So the series went on for a while and it got kind of boring. So they decided we'll end it. But his brother was a main focus of the spinoff, a character we had never been introduced to before in the Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
And in the Big Bang Theory, they pull him in out of nowhere, like right as the series is ending. And they say, like, he's a car salesman. He's successful. And he has a bunch of kids and a bunch of ex-wives.
Okay.
And in the spinoff, he's kind of a rebel, but we don't have that story yet. And then he's talking to this girl at this diner, and then he doesn't tell her how old he is, though. And then they hook up, and she tells him she's pregnant. And then he's like, oh, crap, are you sure it's mine? And she, like, slaps him. And that sets up this new spinoff about his brother. And it's telling us the story of how he became a salesman with a big car company and a bunch of kids and a bunch of ex-wives.
Gotcha.
So I thought it was cool that a spinoff is getting a spinoff.
That is kind of weird.
Yeah.
That's like mind-blowing stuff right there.
Yeah, that's just, that doesn't seem right to me. So then I started looking into it. Like, spinoffs are usually not too successful. I don't know if you remember The Cleveland Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not very successful. And a lot of spinoffs aren't. So I started looking into it and I was thinking, if Young Sheldon was so successful that they were like, let's get another spinoff going.
Yeah.
How many other shows are spinoffs and have been successful and we just didn't even realize they were spinoffs?
Okay.
So I started wondering about that. And are you a fan of The Walking Dead?
Yes.
There's Fear the Walking Dead.
Yes.
Which I know it makes sense, like The Walking Dead, The Walking Dead. But it's not actually a series within the same universe. It's a spinoff.
Yes.
So they did take a character and just give him his own show.
And I feel like Walking Dead did that about 14 times.
So now they have, yeah. Originally, they didn't do that.
Fear the Walking Dead was, and I watched like the first season of it, and then I'm like, this is just Like, it's too much of the same thing.
Yeah, so it was successful in its own way, but it did kind of suck.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even watch
it. It was almost kind of like a prequel.
A prequel?
But it really wasn't. It's like, I think that that's kind of like how they started it, but I don't know. It was just basically the same with different people.
Yeah.
And so it didn't really
make putting Morgan in it, though, was kind of entertaining. Like, I liked seeing Morgan in his own show. But now that there's so many other spinoffs, they're just spinning him off again into the Rick and Michonne series.
Okay.
So they're just throwing him in another series to try and make it more successful.
So do each one of those have a different name, the spinoffs?
There's the Daryl Dixon show. And
is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty bad. And then there's, what's it called? Dead or Alive, I think, something like that.
Okay.
No, The Ones Who Live, that's it.
Okay.
The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live.
Oh.
And that's Rick and Michonne.
Okay.
And then there's Dead City, which is Negan and Maggie. It's kind of weird to put them in their own show together. Yeah. Everyone's like really mad about it because they're afraid they're going to start this romance.
They're going to start,
Yeah, which is probably going to happen, honestly.
They're going to start acting like your neighbors at in the dorm room.
Yeah. Yeah. But then there was another one, and this one's actually successful. So there was That 70s Show.
Yes.
And that was popular, very popular. And then they did That 80s Show, which sucked. No one liked it.
Yeah.
It was a complete bomb.
I did watch it, by the way, just because I had to.
Yeah. And then they did That 90s Show, and that's actually very successful.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah. And honestly, it shouldn't be successful because the actors aren't even nearly as good as the original actors.
But they brought a lot of the old people back.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's successful. They make cameos. Because they're not making it a spinoff necessarily. It's just another
introduction. A continuation of a different... It's the same people, different generation.
Yeah. And then another one that was actually successful, any though it wasn't that good. It was kind of mid, and it made it a very long time. Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Better Call Saul is a spinoff of Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. Because Saul was Walter White's attorney.
Yeah.
And he's super shady. He's kind of
a weird character to give a spinoff to. But the real star, I think, is the other guy, Mike.
Uh-huh.
Because they knew each other before the events of Breaking Bad. So I think that it's really the Mike show.
Yeah.
But Saul's just there.
Yeah. I will say we watch Better Call Saul, too.
Yeah.
It's
kind of like a duo show more than it is. Like just one or the other. And then the number one that's kind of crazy that it's a spinoff. The Simpsons.
Wait, The Simpsons is a spinoff?
Yeah.
Of what?
Okay, let me see here. The Tracy Ullman Show. From what I understand, I don't know who the Tracy Ullman Show is based around.
I've never watched it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that The Simpsons was a series of shorts within that show, and it just became popular. So yeah, there it is. The audience can't see this, but basically... It looks like a girl that's like Kimmy Gibbler, and there's this like goofy cartoonified freaky version of The Simpsons within it.
Gotcha.
And it just got so popular that eventually they gave it its own spinoff, which became The Simpsons.
It's been quite successful.
Yes. So that's one spinoff that, of course,
who knew? Went I did down not know history. That. And I will have to admit, I've never watched The Simpsons either, so.
I've watched it a good bit. But there's also a lot of other spinoffs of spinoffs, like Young Sheldon's spinoff.
I don't know why my stomach's talking. It's so loud.
But I don't recognize any of these. And I mean, maybe other people will. But one I do recognize is The Nurses Show. This one I find interesting. So... It's a spinoff of Empty Nest, which is a spinoff of The Golden Girls.
Yes.
So The Golden Girls got Empty Nest,
which
I never watched that. I did watch The Golden Girls, though. And then The Empty Nest got a spinoff that is Nurses.
Wait, who's in it?
I guess it's this guy, Dr. Harry Weston.
Yeah.
And I think...
So Harry Weston is The Golden Girls' neighbor.
Yeah.
And he has the big dog, Dreyfus.
So I guess Harry Weston.
And then Empty Nest was about Harry Weston and his family.
Yeah. And I believe he worked in some sort of clinic. And then he got a spinoff.
A real sassy nurse named Laverne or something like that. And she was like super sassy and told him, you know, how it was going to be and stuff.
I don't know if any of these are Laverne, but it looks like that like general staff of the show got a spinoff.
I can't tell. I don't think so. All right. So what are some of the others?
Again, I don't recognize a lot of these. One of them is Emergency, and it's from Adam 12, which is from Dragnet. None of those make sense
to me. Way before my time. Yeah.
Then there's Maud and All in the Family.
Yes.
It got a spinoff, Good Times.
Okay.
See, some of these just don't sound very successful. Like, I don't recognize a lot of pop culture stuff, but I don't recognize Good Times at all.
You don't?
No.
Okay. That's way before.
Wait, you remember Good Times?
I don't. I think that's probably pre-gen, but I know the show.
It looks like a lot of these are older TV shows that got spinoffs of spinoffs. I thought spinoffs was a more relative new thing.
Mm-mm.
But like, I mean, I guess that's just because in my time we're getting so many spinoffs and reboots now.
Well, it's because nobody has an original idea in their head anymore.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying.
So we got Laverne.
Laverne and Shirley?
Yeah, Laverne and Shirley.
Tell me you know who Laverne and Shirley are.
No.
Oh, for the love.
But they're from Happy Days, which was from Love American Style.
Okay. I didn't know Happy Days was from something.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of...
Did you watch Happy Days?
Mm-hmm.
The Fonz?
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Nope. I did watch Family Matters a little bit. The Steve Urkel show.
Yes. Which I just watched that yesterday, actually.
And I think Family Matters was a spinoff of another show. That one, I can't remember what it's from.
Mm.
Some sort of, like, hotel show. Like, the guy is a doorman, I think. Let me look it up. Family Matters spinoff.
I don't know about that. Steve Urkel is a pretty
Perfect
unique...
Strangers. So Family Matters was a Perfect Strangers spinoff. And...
How?
You remember Perfect Strangers?
Yeah. Balky?
I never heard of this, but I just know it's a spinoff. Yes. So.
I'm trying to think.
Wife Harriet Winslow first appeared on Perfect Strangers
she runs
as an
hotel.
Elevator operator. That's what I was thinking of. Okay. Doorman, elevator operator. In the office building that housed the Chicago Chronicle, where Larry and Balky worked.
See, I said Balky. Are you impressed? I knew that.
No.
That was a good show.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of shows back then just kind of like fed off each other. It's before there was a cinematic universe, but like,
yeah,
it seemed like they were all connected somehow. Anyways,
it's just
weird
to think
how they did that.
Yeah.
I can only imagine like network executives just sitting in a room and they're like, okay, we need to make a new TV show. What about that guy?
We've got one character in this show that's successful. Yeah. Let's do like a show about that.
They sort of like this guy. So let's give him a TV show and then like make him a father with way too many kids and then make that the whole premise.
Well, the funny thing is like, you know, at the end of the day, back then times were different. You know, you tuned in. You know, to Saturday night TV, you didn't have a choice. You watched what you got.
You couldn't like, just click on Netflix and
no,
go stream.
No, there was like five
stuff.
Channels and you picked from whatever that was. You know
so
what
just
I mean?
Turn on channel 4 and run a bunch.
Yeah. So it was, so like, for example, you take NBC, like Saturday nights or whatever it was, Friday night, Saturday night, it was a weekend night. You know, you had XYZ, you had like the Golden Girls and something else that filled up that hour because they were each half hour shows. And then there was like a drama. Like I remember it was like Hunter came on, like I think after that or something. And that was like a TV, like they were cops.
So you had like a comedy show and then like a dramatic show.
Yeah. Like the later night because it was, you know, a little edgier, which was not edgy at all today.
It was but, for the parents, and then there was one for the kids and the parents.
Yeah, you had like, you know, from say like 8 to 9, you had like sitcoms, and then it went on from there. So
okay, and then there was probably like
you
a kids
the Love
show
Boat, The Love Boat and Fantasy Island were back to back.
Yeah.
I think those were Saturdays. Yeah. So, anywho, but we digress. I loved the Love Boat and Fantasy Island both. Loved them.
Never heard of either.
The Love Boat? You've never heard of the Love Boat?
I think I've heard of, like, people reference it in other TV shows, but I never watched the Love Boat or know anything about it. Was it like a dating thing? Like you put a bunch of people on a boat and then it's like who falls in love?
No, it was a show about a cruise ship, and the cast of the show were the people that worked on the ship. And every week they'd have another group of people come on the ship, and it was about their relationship with all the people that came on the ship. But stop thinking reality show. Think of like TV show. Don't think reality show.
Okay.
So you had like the captain of the ship, his daughter, you know, the first mate of the ship, the doctor of the ship, the bartender of the ship. You had all of these people and how they react or interacted with. And you always had like celebrities that came on, like the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders were on there. Yeah. So it was a show about a cruise ship. And then the stuff that happened within it during that.
So were the cast members falling in love with each other, or was they falling in love with the people that came on?
It kind of
seems weird. Yeah. Like every week they're in love with someone new.
Well, I mean, not necessarily, but
this week he's going to be in love with the Dallas
Cowboys. Or there was like some scandal that happened and it was a mystery and they're all trying to figure it out. Or
a whodunit.
Yeah. I mean, some of those. Yeah.
So, okay.
Anyway, it's a good show. Watch it. Fantasy Island was super cool. Fantasy Island was awesome.
That one does have a nice name to it.
Yeah.
Better than Love Boat.
The Pacific Princess. That's the name of the boat.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Pacific Princess.
The Pacific Princess was actually salvaged and is out on the high seas again, believe it or not. It was supposed to be scrapped and somebody salvaged it. Anywho, we got to go for the day. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Want to thank the folks for coming in. And don't forget that pre-1890 indoor trade fair will be at Canner's Cave Main Lodge this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So make plans to attend that. All right. Well, I'm out for a couple of days. Have to go to a convention. So Dylan's going to hold down the fort here.
Yep.
He's super excited about that.
Yeah. I mean, I know we have a guest Wednesday. Holzer will be in. And then there'll be news Thursday. And then Friday, you're back.
Yeah.
So it seems like an easy week. But tomorrow, I guess you're stuck with me. So we'll see what we can do.
We'll see. All right. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you right back here this week. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.
This just in.
The Telegram News has a new website.
TheTelegramNews.com.
Same dedicated coverage.
Same trustworthy news with a brand new look.
Covering Jackson and Benton counties and surrounding areas.
Locally owned and operated, TheTelegramNews.com has its finger on the pulse of the community.
Stay up to date on local events, high school sports, and breaking news.
TheTelegramNews.com.
Subscribe today at TheTelegramNews.com.
Check it out.